This morning, let's look at chapter 40 here, verses 5 and 17. In verse 17, the psalmist declares, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. That to me is so awesome. It is something that is so awesome, I haven't been able to grasp it fully. The whole ramifications of the fact that God thinks about me. David said in Psalm 8, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? That's always something that has posed a real puzzle to me. When I consider the vastness of this universe and the fact that God created the universe and governs over the universe, I think of the billions upon billions of stars in their galaxies and in their orbits and all, God guiding all of these stars and governing over this universe, the planets, the asteroids and all, and yet he thinks about me. Now, I am amazed with so many billions of stars and planets and all that there aren't more space collisions. March the 23rd this year, the Earth had a very close encounter with an asteroid that is about a half mile across. It came within 500,000 miles of the Earth. You say 500,000, that's a lot of miles. Yes, but it was traveling at 50,000 miles an hour, so we were 10 hours from a collision. The scientists tell us that had this asteroid collided with the Earth, it would have had an explosive force equivalent to 20,000 1-megaton hydrogen bombs. It would have created a crater 5 to 10 miles across and a mile deep. Imagine had that asteroid impacted, say, at Newport Beach. You'd have a whole new harbor, a deep water harbor, 1,000 feet deep. Had that asteroid impacted in one of the oceans, it would have created tidal waves hundreds of yards high that would have inundated coastal areas all over the world. 10 hours from collision when God guided that asteroid away from its course towards the Earth. And it whipped out around the sun again. It was discovered by an astronomer from Flagstaff who was photographing through the 18-inch telescope at Mount Palomar. And we weren't even aware of this collision course, which sort of troubles me, until the 31st of March when he saw the thing going away. You see, they are supposed to be watching for these asteroids. Because there are emergency plans of sending out rockets with nuclear tips in order to explode these asteroids somewhere out into space when they become a threat to impact with the Earth. And here it was, just 10 hours from impact. I'm glad that God is watching over and knows these things. But with all that it must take to govern over the universe that he has created, the fact that God would have time to think about me just boggles my mind. I look at all of the life forms. I see the plant life with its capacity of reproduction, and I marvel. Each plant able to reproduce itself. Each vegetable bearing seed after its own kind. And that capacity of reproduction in the plant life just amazes me. And the ways by which the seeds propagate themselves. Kay and I were walking through a wooded area a while back, and I saw a beautifully designed what they call propeller seed. It was a seed with a large fin on it. And I picked it up and I said to Kay, "Look at this, honey." And I threw it up in the air, and that fin on it was so designed as it caused the thing to start spinning like a rotor on a helicopter, and it carried that seed on off a ways. And I said, "Look at that. How marvelously God designed that seed with that fin so that it can spread itself. It can propagate. When it pops out of the tree, it doesn't just fall straight down, but it gets out far enough so that it isn't in the shade where it couldn't really grow of the mother tree." And of course, Kay's crazy about dandelions. She loves them when they're all look, you know, so puffy and fluffy. Before the wind picks up those little parachutes and carries them off, spreading the dandelions all over your yard. Marvelously designed. Seeds capable of reproducing and yet with that capacity of propagating. I look at the insects, and I've always wondered what God created them for. Maybe just as something to amuse us and to marvel at. Now, our poinsettias seem to have some tiny little insect, sort of like a fly, that is in the soil of the poinsettias. And these fly around the house. They're so tiny, I'm amazed that they can fly. But I'm also amazed that they seem to have some kind of thought capacity, and I wonder, what do these little things think about where they're going? They seem to fly in erratic kind of patterns. And I wonder, little thing, do you know where you're going? And I know that they have some kind of a thought process, because when they land on the screen of on the monitor of my computer, I'll go to squash it with my finger. And the thing seems to be aware of my finger approaching, and it'll fly off. You can't just, you know, you got to come in fast to catch it. But there is the thought process in this tiny little insect, and it has the capacity to fly. And that just amazes me. God's little creation. Ants have always fascinated me. When, especially outdoors. I don't like them in the house, but outside. I like to watch them as they lift sometimes 2 and 3 times their own weight, as they're carrying these bits of food to their colony, and they all seem to be so busy. They seem to communicate to each other as they meet each other. They sort of say, "Hey, it's that way," you know, and they're able to, you know, to communicate to each other so that if there is a bit of food or something, you know, they seem to make a stream towards it. They seem to be able to find it and communicate to others where you can find, "Hey, I really found a bunch of sugar," you know, and they're able to communicate that. And so you find these little trails of ants. And they seem to work independently, and yet they are all gathering for the colony, and it's a marvelous, again, think of, you talk about computerizing things, and you talk about the miniaturization of chips and all this. Think of how small the ant brain must be. And yet, you know, the capacity stored in that tiny, tiny, tiny little brain to know enough to lay up its food in the summertime, knowing that in the winter it can't get out. Marvelous. God created it. The thought processes that must have gone in to the creation of those little insects. And then the fish. How I love to go snorkeling in areas like Hanama Bay and Cozumel and all, where you see the tremendous varieties of fish, colorful fish. The shapes, I've seen some of the most exotically shaped fish you could possibly imagine. In fact, they're so exotic you can't believe they're real. Fish that are luminescent, fish of brilliant colors. Again, you know, God could have just made a straight fish. And they could have all been the same, but not so. He's not that kind of a God. The infinite variety of fish. I was reading of a bunch of ichthyologists who just were on a Russian ship who've just come back. And they said that they have discovered several new fish that have never been found before in the Indian Ocean. And they've got a whole new project now of naming these many varieties of fish that they just discovered. And, oh, I'm just amazed at God's capacity of creation and the thought processes that must have gone behind the design of these fish. The capacity to exist in the environment that they exist in, to propel themselves in the marvelous designs. And then you think of man himself. God thinks about me. You think of the design of the human body, the functions of the glands and the nervous system and all. I was looking at some brain cells on magnified over and over thousands of times and looking at the cells. It was just marvelous. Can't get over how marvelous we're designed. But the real marvel to me is that as nothing as I am, God thinks about me. As David said, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks about me." God is thinking about you. You know, I think that it's good for us every once in a while to just sort of think of ourselves in relationship to the universe in which we live. Here I am, made of dust, one of 5 billion people that inhabit this little speck of dust that we call the Earth. Rotating as we do around this star, which we call the sun, as the Earth spins on its axis, rotating around the sun, which in turn is in its rotation in this Milky Way galaxy, I think of how insignificant I am in the fact that just one of 5 billion people that inhabit this planet. And I think of how insignificant this planet is as far as even our solar system is concerned. You take Jupiter and Uranus and Mars is a little smaller than we are, but Saturn, so much larger than we are. And yet all of the planets so small in relationship to the sun. And the sun, just one of the billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy, only one of the billions of galaxies in the universe. Here we are, on this little speck of dust, only a speck of dust ourselves, way out here in a corner of the Milky Way galaxy, and God is thinking about us. I see men strut around in their vain show, and I think of what David wrote in that 39th Psalm as he talks about man walking in his vain show, verse 6. But he said in verse 5, verily, or truly, every man at his best state is altogether nothing. And you know, when you start thinking of yourself in relationship to the total, you're really nothing. How nothing we are, and yet God thinks about us. Jesus said, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground, but what your Father doesn't take note of it. I mean, he thinks about his creation as such, but you're his child. How much he thinks about you. Well, just how much does he? Verse 5, David said, and thy thoughts which are toward us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The thoughts of God concerning you are so many you can't count them. They're more than can be numbered. In the 139th Psalm, David said, how precious also are thy thoughts of me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than the sand. Now, I can imagine or suppose that maybe once in my life, God might think about me. As I've done some super stupid thing, and the angel says, hey, did you see that? And God maybe thought of me as I, you know, did some rash, foolish thing, maybe once in my life. But the scripture says that God is thinking about me. And if I should number the thoughts of God concerning me, they're as many as the sand. Now, it has been estimated that there are 10 to the 25th grains of sand on this earth. 10 to the 25th power. I don't know who figures out these kind of things. I don't know how you would figure out these kind of things. But They estimate that that's how many stars there are also, 10 to the 25th power stars in the universe. And someone has estimated that there's probably 10 to the 25th power grains of sand upon the earth. Now, I got to figuring, if I lived to be 70 years old, that I will have lived 2.2 times 10 to the 8th power seconds. So that if God thought of me once every second, he would think of me 2.2 times 10 to the 8th power times. But if he thinks of me as often as the sands of the sea, that means that he's got to be thinking of me 10 to the 17th power every second. Like David said, if I should reckon them, they cannot be numbered. The thoughts of God. That means that God is continually thinking about me. Has been thinking about me. Years before I was ever born. The amazing, amazing thing that God thinks about us. Why would God think about me so much? Only one reason. Because he loves me so much. You know, when you are really in love with someone, you're thinking about them all the time. You're thinking about them when you're with them. You're thinking about them when you're absent from them. And when you're absent from them, what you are thinking is, I wonder what they are thinking. I wonder if they are thinking about me. I wonder what they're doing now. Whenever I travel, I always keep, I have a neat watch because I can I can pop it to whatever time zone I'm in, but I always have my home base, and then I can just pop it to the time zone I'm in, and I can always know exactly what time it is at home. And I'm always sort of thinking, well, now, you know, she's making her coffee, and she's, you know, keep tabs in your mind of what they're doing at home. You think about them. Whenever I see something that's exquisitely beautiful, I think about Kay and I wonder what her reaction and response would be to that. And I wish that she was there so she could see it, so I could get her response to it and enjoy seeing her enjoyment of it. God loves you so much. He's constantly thinking about you. Thinking about you in loving terms. This is where Satan so often distorts the truth of God. He would have you to think that God only thinks about you when you've done something wrong, and then he's thinking in terms of, well, I'll have to teach them a lesson. And it's sad that we so often think that God's thoughts of us are always in a condemning way. But God said to Jeremiah, I know my thoughts concerning you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. God said this to Israel at the time when they had failed God completely. They were going to go into captivity to Babylon. They were going to have to be chastised. They had forsaken God and turned after folly, and they were on a self-destructive course. And so it was necessary that God deal with them. And he says, I know my thoughts concerning you. They weren't thoughts of destroying Israel. Though Israel was going to be going into a really destructive period of their history with the Babylonian captivity and all. But I want to bring you to this expected end, to this end out here is the purpose that you're going to. So my purposes and my thoughts are of peace. They're for your good. They're for your benefit. I want to bring out the end result. And so God's thoughts for you are always concerning the end result, that hope, that peace that God has for you. And his thoughts are always leading you towards that expected result. Now what this does for me is, first of all, gives me tremendous comfort. God's thinking about me. When I'm in a place of danger, in a place of stress, I'm prone to get anxious about the situation, to know that God knows all about it and that God is thinking about me. I'm not alone in this thing. God's aware. God's thinking about me. He's aware of what's going on. And that gives me tremendous comfort to know that God has got the thing all taken care of. He's thinking about me. It also gives me tremendous courage. Sometimes the enemy looks pretty tough. Overwhelming, in fact. The odds are more than I could handle. But God's thinking about me. And the fact that God knows and is thinking about me, I have the courage to go in and to face the overwhelming odds. Without fear, without really reluctance, because God is thinking about me in terms of love. He's concerned, and he's going to bring me to that desired end. And so it's glorious to know that as vast as God is, and as nothing as I am, he still loves me so much that I occupy his mind continually. That's the amazing thing about God. That's what makes him God, that makes him infinite, that makes him beyond our understanding or capacity to understand. He loves you so much. He's thinking about you all the time. Surely, I should be thinking about him more. Rather than just occasionally thinking about God, on Sunday morning when I come to church and we are here together and we talk about God and we read the scriptures and I think about God and then I sort of forget him the rest of the week. No, 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 that should not be. I should be taking him into thought much more, taking him into consideration much more. May God help us to think more about him. Shall we pray? Father, we can't grasp it. It's beyond us, Lord. You should think about us. When we think of who you are, when we consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, just who am I? What is man that you would be mindful of him at all? Much less be thinking about me all the time. Lord, I'm glad that you're thinking about me. I appreciate so much, Lord, your thoughts concerning me, knowing that they are of peace. You're bringing me to a desirable conclusion. My end with you. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to take you into our minds and hearts more often. May we consider you, Lord, in the decision processes of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord be with you and watch over you through the week. May you experience His presence and His power in your life, knowing that He's thinking about you so much. I trust that you'll spend a little time thinking about Him as you develop your relationship with God, that loving relationship made possible through Jesus. So God be with you. Bless and keep you in Jesus' name.